The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, Ghana Gas begins production next week and plans to lay pipes in every district to ensure free flow of gas. Supreme Court to hear AG's motion for retrieval of 51 million judgment debt paid Woyome on 31st of this month. Prime suspect in recruitment scam who jumped bail now back in police custody as police prepare to submit report on scam today. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan vows to retake seized Boko Haram territories within a month, and Sierra Leone to lock down parts of the country next week to contain Ebola. The Ministry of Petroleum is to lay pipelines throughout the country for the distribution of liquefied petroleum gas LPG to every district. The ministry is also working to ensure that future buildings have direct LPG pipelines into kitchens across the country. These are captured in the government's gas master plan made known by the sector minister Emmanuel Amakofibua when he appeared before the Government Assurances Committee of Parliament yesterday.
As we speak, we have the gas master plan that we just finished that has a long-term view of gas distribution, including LPG distribution, where we are looking at the future, quite frankly, where the plan is to make sure in every region we have pipelines across the country to every region, every district, to the extent that future buildings will have specification for LPGs in your kitchen. The future we see for gas is huge. You've already seen the government has rolled out the rural LPG program. With the confidence that we have that the volumes will increase, we think that the volumes will increase, but we have a plan to make sure we can continue to expand gas infrastructure, working with BOST and working with Ghana Gas in expanding this across the country.
Mr. Amakofibo also spoke about the compressor and operational issues that came up in getting the gas to VRA to power its thermal plants.
There's now a standing committee made up of VRA, Talo, and Ghana Gas. In the last few weeks since the engagement started, you have seen that we are working together closely. Talo has really addressed those compressor issues. The assurance I'll give you is that we'll work with them to make sure we can minimize it. Obviously, those machines can have problems, but what we have to do is to make sure that it is a priority and that we are all working closely to resolve them.
The Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. Sipayanki, spoke about the economic benefits of the gas project and touched on compensation to residents whose farmlands have been taken over by the state for the project.
Some of the economic benefits of the liquid, the gas, the other liquid that we are producing is that the gas is enabling Ghana to cut the cost of production of power by about 50%. The LPG, for instance, also now we are importing LPG big volumes. Right now we are selling to the Ghanaian market about 300 metric tons of LPG. And that itself means that there's a reduction in the importation of LPG from abroad, meaning we are saving about that much foreign currency. And so when we come to produce about 500 million tons of LPG, we will still be saving more foreign currency for this country. Now, in the case of the connections, for instance, they're also being used to generate power. And what had been planned earlier was to send them to Tema for them to spike it to produce more gasoline. But I think there's some problem there with toll. So that hopefully will be done. Besides the employment and the secondary effect that it also has to have on other industries. So far as the Atombo gas policy plan is concerned, most of the farmers and most of the people whose crops were destroyed have been paid. Now what we have left is the land on which the gas processing plant has been built and the land along the right way, the pipeline right way. But luckily for us, we've now got approval from the board to make payments for the land. And from tomorrow going, I'm assuring you, you will start making the compensation for the crops.
Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. Sipayanki, speaking at a public hearing of the Government Assurances Committee in Parliament. There has been renewed pressure on government to reduce the price of fuel to conform with the fall in price on the international market. World market prices of the commodity has fallen, prompting agitations from pressure groups for government to reduce the prices on the local market. Government responded by reducing the commodity, but the Movement for Change, a pressure group, says it is embarking on a campaign to force government to further reduce the fuel prices. Speaking on Behind the News, the chairman of the movement, Dr. Antimi Siasari, said he expects the prices to be reduced by 25%. He speaks more about the campaign.
There was a call for reduction in fuel price when the world market price of crude oil had fallen. And you remember a lot of organizations, interest and pressure groups like Imani, AFAC, Occupy Ghana, Ghana Trade Union, Congress, Guta, and all sorts of companies and organizations started talking about it. The government then just reduced the fuel by only 10%, when at that time the fuel price had fallen for over 40%, 50%. It even fell to about less than $50 a barrel. But the government gave a reason at that time, which most of us didn't accept it and believe it, that they owe a bulk distribution company, BDC, so amount of money, and they want to use the windfall to offset that amount. We kept quiet because the government is the government in power, and they went ahead and reduced the fuel price by only 10%, which was very small, and everybody thought it was not the right thing to do. God being so good, on 25th of February 2016, Honorable Moses Asaga, who is the chief executive for NPA, had an interview of Graphic Corporation and said that God being so good, the windfall has been enough to pay off the BDC's debt. So we're all thinking that immediately after that, NPA will sit down and maybe use the automatic tariff adjustment formula to let us have the benefit of the reducing fuel price on the world market. We've waited for about 3 weeks now. We haven't heard anything. That's the reason why Movement for Change, which is a pressure group and an interest group in this country, is now reminding government and NPA if they have forgotten that we are still waiting for the fuel price to be reduced to be commensurate with the falling crude oil price.
How soon will the Movement for Change embark on this year campaign, and what form will it take?
There are about three things that we want to do. The first one is what we are doing today. The second one is going to be a mass campaign throughout the country. And by that mass campaign, we are taking people to go to the various localities and use the local language to explain what is in the fuel price build-up. We want people to understand, we want the citizenry to understand, the ordinary person to understand that if you buy a gallon of diesel, this is what goes in.
That was the chairman of for the Movement for Change, Dr. Antimi Siasari. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has won the Lavender Hill case against VMA. The EPA was on December 11, 2013, forced to take court action against AMA following the Assembly's refusal to comply with the directive not to dump liquid waste into the sea at Koligono. The AMA has therefore been directed to adopt measures to tidy up the Lavender Hill site. The executive director of the EPA, Daniel Amlalo, who disclosed to this at a news conference in Accra, said the agency will, by the end of this month, revisit the site to assess progress of work there. He said the stench at Lavender Hill has affected export of fish to other countries because of the high level of environmental pollution.
EPA won the case against AMA, and AMA has been directed to put up corrective measures to clean up the place. AMA is working on this. We would go back to them at the end of this quarter, that is March, and find out where they have reached. AMA brought in their line of action, what they need to do, and also some companies that would assist them. We've had some embassies coming along with AMA to say that, yes, we would resolve the problem. It does not have implications only for EPA, but for the whole country. Other countries that import fish from Ghana say because of the level of pollution, we will not buy fish from Ghana. It's also for all of us because we go swimming, and if you have high level of coliform matter in the water, it's not good for the responsibility, not only for EPA, but for all of us to ensure that that problem is solved and solved within the shortest possible time.
You heard the executive director of EPA, Daniel Amlalo. Meanwhile, the EPA says it is ready to stand on its own if it is weaned of government subvention. This follows a pronouncement by the Minister of Finance, Seth Tekle, on the floor of Parliament last week to the effect that some SOEs have been weaned of subvention. The board chairman of the agency, Professor Vincent Kujumati, said the EPA will, among other things, redesign its structures, reshape its management team, and increase public education. He believes the move will help strengthen the agency's stand to comply with the directive of no longer receiving government subvention and also avert any challenges. Priscilla Pia and Cecilia Berko have more.
The board chairman of the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, Professor Vincent Nati, said the board will ensure that regional, zonal and district offices of the EPA work in synergy. A major challenge confronting the EPA is the failure of individuals to comply with the Environmental Protection Act, which requires persons to secure permits before putting up any structures. The EPA says it is stepping up efforts to ensure that ongoing projects conform to its standards.
EPA has waited for government intervention. Yes, EPA is taking serious steps so that that directive can be complied with. We also need to reorient the thinking of the staff, because definitely they are going to rake in the money to be paid with. Also restructuring our management team, because we can need that. Without a solid and innovative management team, this directive cannot see the light of. We also are going to promote compliance enforcement, because this is one of the major problems we have in this country. And so projects which are to be initiated or projects which are ongoing would have to just be made to comply. In the case of the environmental permits.
Professor Nate clarified issues on promotion, the Green City Initiative at Damfa, and the incident of oil beaching in the same coastal areas.
Concerning the Green City issue, we are just saying that a priority has been given to our spreading to the regions and the districts, and it is upon those basis that that project is being put on hold. When you talk of issues of promotion, I find it difficult to accept. Anyone who is due for promotion puts in, you apply for promotion, you submit a technical report, then after that, each individual who has applied for the promotion appears before a panel, a committee. So it is not an issue where one person is going to sit in his corner and say that you are beautiful, you are handsome, for that matter, I promote you.
Professor Nate advised the public to be environmentally conscious of themselves by ensuring that there is adequate ventilation around them and avoid refueling their generators while in use.
Priscilla Pia and Cecilia Bercon's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ghana Gas begins production next week and plans to lay pipes in every district to ensure free flow of gas. Prime suspect in recruitment scam who jumped bail now back in police custody as police prepare to submit report on scam today. Supreme Court to hear AG's motion for retrieval of 51 million judgment debt paid Woyume on the 31st of this month. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan vows to retake seized Boko Haram territories within a month. And Sierra Leone to lock down parts of the country next week to contain Ebola. We are back shortly. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. The prime suspect in the police recruitment scam, Alif Adams, alias Cassidy or Baba, has reported to the police. Adams, accompanied by his lawyer, flew from Kumasi to Accra following reports that he had jumped bail. He was interrogated by the Special Investigations Task Force, SIT, which has been set up by the police administration to investigate the scam. Adams is said to have told the task force that he lived in Kumasi and viewed that following the publication of his picture in the Daily Graphic, some residents started putting pressure on him to immediately report to the police in Accra or he would be arrested and handed over to the police. He is reported to have told the task force that because of the bounty on his head, he realized that it would be better to report to the police than to allow people to make money out of his situation. The police administration offered a 5,000 Ghana cedi bounty to any member of the public with information that would lead to Adams' arrest. Earlier this month, hundreds of young men and women turned up at five police training depots for enlistment into the Ghana Police Service, but left disappointed after they found out it was a scam. It was found out that their recruitment letters were fake and that the purported enlistment was a fraud. The police have since arrested eight people, including two policemen, as part of investigations to unmask the people behind the latest police recruitment scam. The scam has also led to the interdiction of the Director General of Human Resource Development of the Police Service, COP Patrick Timbila, who was allegedly implicated. The Special Investigation Task Force, meanwhile, which is investigating the police recruitment scam, is expected to present its report to the police administration today. The IGP Mohammed Al-Hassan set up the committee to investigate the matter after hundreds of young people fell victim to what is now believed to be a fraud. Based on the recommendations of the DCOP Bright Odru Committee, Director General of the Police Human Resource Development, COP Patrick Timbila, was interdicted, while there are conflicting reports of his accounts being frozen. According to information available to Radio Ghana, COP Timbila was named by some of the suspects as their accomplice, while it is also alleged that some monies were traced to his bank account. The report would go a long way to establish the guilt or otherwise of the highly respected commissioner. Meanwhile, Parliament's Defence and Interior Committee has hinted of an independent investigation if the police report is not satisfactory to them. And still at the corridors of the police in the Volta region are calling on residents to report all criminal activities in order to effect arrest. The region has been under attack for some few weeks now following shooting incidents involving an officer. Deputy Volta Regional Police Commander ACP William Akwese, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said public information on criminality is crucial. He, however, said his men are well equipped and stationed at vantage points to prevent unlawful activities.
It is true that we are visible, we are all over the place. So I speak to you now. We have divided who into six zones. We have the foot patrol, we have the mobile patrol, we have the tent city, we have the visibility men in these various zones. We do the patrols 24/7. But our handicap is, you know, we cannot be everywhere or in every corner at each given time. So we've been appealing to the public to volunteer information to us, because these criminals, we believe, live with them. They are in the same community with them. So they are the best people to, you know who they are living with, and then volunteer information, you know, to us. But that is not forthcoming from the people. Our information is that they fear when they give the information, the people will get to know and they will say they have given us the information and so on and so forth. So, in fact, that is our challenge as of now.
Our correspondent just said that even a police officer on duty was shot. That is quite scary. So if the police are target, it becomes quite difficult for the residents who are unarmed. The question is, how armed are your men on the ground and how safe are they themselves?
It happened the other day when our men at a duty point had a call, you know, a distress call, and whilst responding, there was a shot. They had two shots, and all of a sudden, one realized that he was bleeding.
That was Deputy Volta Regional Police Commander ACP William Akwese. The Supreme Court will on the 31st of this month hear the Attorney General's motion for enforcement in a case in which the AG is seeking leave of the court to enforce its earlier ruling ordering businessman Alfred Agbeshi-Oyome to refund to the state the 51.2 million Ghana cedi judgment debt paid him. Other parties in the case, Waterville Holding and former Attorney General and Minister of Justice Martin Amidu, are also expected to be present at the hearing. It was earlier reported that court bailiffs were unable to serve Woyume the processes filed by the AG, but according to sources, the businessman himself went to the court to pick up the documents, thereby setting the stage for what is expected to be an interesting hearing. Development partners and data experts have met in Accra to discuss how transparent data can be used to sustain development goals and track resources available for use. This, they believe, can be done by engaging and building the capacity of civil society organizations, the media, and academia for effective outcomes. Speaking at the opening of a workshop by International Aid Transparency Initiative, AITI, Deputy Minister of Finance, Cassiel Ato-Forson, said the ultimate goal of transparent data is not for it to be used, is for it to be used effectively in shaping policies for national development. Anamo Mari and Sandra Brown report.
The International Aid Transparency Initiative, IATI, since its creation in 2008, in partnership with the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, has championed the cause of transparency and made it relevant for national development planning, public financial management, and mutual accountability. The two-day International Aid Transparency Initiative workshop will focus on data quality, accessibility, and improving systems to track the use of resources for effective and sustainable development. The Deputy Minister of Finance, Kesola Tufosin, said the capacity, efficiency, and availability of information needs to be better packaged and highlighted in a fully operational concept for transparency to enable key holders to benefit from it.
The notion of transparency connotes a sense of someone trying to hide something bad, and for that reason, transparency is needed to shed more light on it. Much as the issue of the word has served and continue to serve purposeful ends, there are inherent challenges that lead to being national government perceived an unwillingness to open up to transparency discussion.
The country director of UNDP Ghana, Dominic Sam, said development partners can only be effective when they join forces in programming, avoiding duplication in projects, and make efficient use of the limited financial resources available for development.
With a new and a more ambitious set of sustainable development goals, coupled with the ever-decreasing aid budget, especially for developing countries, understanding how financial resources and mechanisms can help achieve them, and how development can be financed more effectively, becomes even more crucial now than ever before. Data has the power to drive decisions. It actually gives us the roadmap to reform. It tells us where we are, where we need to go, and what points us to where the risk lies. This workshop is welcoming and timely, as it provides the opportunity for us to consider ways in which transparent open data can be key in achieving success, both in financing for development and more especially for the implementation of the SDGs.
Mr. Sam urged all stakeholders to share their country's experiences and make effective contributions on how to better develop a transparent data that the world desires for mutual coexistence.
A report by Nanama Omari and Sandra Brown. Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry Murtala Mohammed has asked Ghanaians to discard the perception that made in Ghana goods and services are substandard. The Deputy Minister believes a change in attitude will go a long way to boost patronage and reduce the pirating of made in Ghana products. At a media briefing in Accra, Mr. Mohammed said a national campaign on the patronage of made in Ghana goods will create more jobs for the youth. Amelia Ite has the details.
A steering committee chaired by the Minister of Trade and Industry, Ekospiel Gabra, on made in Ghana goods and services was inaugurated in December last year. The committee is made up of representatives from the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Ghana Standards Authority, Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industries, Association of Ghanaian Industries, Ghana Investment Promotion Center, Ministry of Communication, and other communication and advertising agencies. The objectives of the committee are to campaign to ensure 60% behavioral change, create positive perception, and increase the patronage of made in Ghana goods by the end of 2015. It is hoped that the dependency on imports for satisfaction of consumer needs will be gradually and systematically reduced if this habit is adopted.
Emilia Ute reporting. The National Health Insurance Scheme's biometric registration takes off today in the Volta region. The Deputy Director of Management Information System of the National Health Insurance Authority, Vitus Kaliubio, who disclosed this at a media briefing in Ho, said the exercise will take place in 5 districts in the region in the first week and will be extended to other districts and municipalities in the following weeks. The districts are Karachi East and West, Nkwanta North and South, and KJB. Our Water Regional Correspondent, Kobla Lee Kukubo, was there for Radio Ghana.
The National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, is implementing the biometric registration to fight challenges of duplication of enrollment and ensure data integrity in its membership systems. The system will also help the NHIA to authenticate subscribers at health provider sites to discourage multiple claim submissions. The Deputy Director of Information Systems of the NHIA, Vitus Kaliubio, assured customers that the new card will be produced
and issued instantly to subscribers. He explained that the new card, which shall contain the basic demographic information and the biometric data of subscribers, will be valid for 5 years, subject to yearly membership renewals. Mr. Kaliobio disclosed that in future, the subscriber's hospital attendance information, like the patient's allergies and blood group, will be stored on the card. He cautioned old customers not to rush to acquire the new cards, since the old cards will be used together with the biometric one and so they are gradually phased out. The head of corporate affairs of NHIA, Dr. Nia Jetianan, said the authority plans to accelerate claims management within the context of e-claims and claim processing center and expand clinical audits to improve the quality of care and check fraud and abuse.
A report by Volta Regional Correspondent Kobla Ali Kukubo. In foreign news, Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan says all territory seized by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram will be retaken within a month, saying they are getting weaker and weaker by the day. Mr. Jonathan, however, admitted that the Nigerian security forces have been slow to respond to the insurgents' initial advance in northeast Nigeria. Nigeria's army has recently claimed a series of victories over the militants. Sierra Leone is to enforce a three-day lockdown of key parts of the country to try to contain the Ebola epidemic. A three-day curfew in September, keeping people at home under quarantine, was hailed as a success by all the authorities, despite some criticism. The country's National Ebola Response Center says the new lockdown, which will come into force next week, is expected to affect close to 2.5 million people. Former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser has died at age 84. A statement from his office said Mr. Fraser, who led the nation between 1975 and 1983, died after a short illness. He became Prime Minister in controversial circumstances after the unprecedented dismissal of Gough Whitlam. Malcolm Fraser championed the rights of Indigenous Australians and refugees, a stance that put him on a collision course with his own party later. Now to end the news, another look at our headlines. A special task force investigating the police recruitment scam is expected to present its report today. Meanwhile, the prime suspect in the police recruitment scam, Alifa Adams, is now back in police custody after he jumped bail. The Supreme Court will on the 31st of this month hear the Attorney General's motion for retrieval of $51 million judgment debt paid businessman Alfred Agbeshi-Wuyume. The Minister of Petroleum, Emmanuel Kofi Buah, says Ghana Gas is expected to begin full production of LPG next week, adding that plans are underway to lay pipes in every district to ensure free flow of gas. Mr. Buah disclosed this before the Government Assurances Committee of Parliament. And Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan says all territory seized by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram will be retaken within a month, saying the group is getting weaker and weaker by the day. And that ends the news with Abraham Donko in Accra.